Hello, Freedom Fighters. Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And this is the show where we teach you how to build passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. The whole goal is to spend more time with your family and to not fight with them on a regular basis about your finances, but to be able to sit back on a Saturday afternoon and just enjoy your family and not worry about where that money is going to come from. And the vehicle that we use is buy and hold real estate. But on today's show, we're going to talk about four different steps so that you cannot fight about money. What was the sort of the impetus for this podcast, this episode today? Do you want to share?
No, I'm not allowed because I always get in trouble for sharing things about my family. There's a certain person in our family who listens to this, and then we get
and then we get on the show and we have a great show topic, and then we'll hear from we'll hear from this individual later who's like, "You guys, you're sharing like, our personal stories on the podcast.
Stop talking about us on your podcast."
So we won't.
So I'm not going to. Okay. So there's someone I know who's close to me who was talking about their efforts to communicate about money better with their spouse. And this person, I'm not going to even use a gender pronoun. Let's call him
Bob.
Okay. Bob was saying that, you know, they had had a fight with their spouse and it was, you know, they said, "Oh, we're fine now, but this went wrong because I was scared about this and I felt like we weren't going to make it." And I was like, "Well, what do you mean by you're not going to make it? Like, you're not going to be able to pay your bills or you're not going to be able to make your goals?" And they said both. And so this, what should have been a pretty, you know, kind of reasonable and happy discussion turned into a fight. And I think that both of them had their intentions in the right place. But a lot of times, so many times people write us and they say, "How do you get your wife to let you invest in real estate? She's too afraid," right? And what they're saying to us is like, "We've had a fight about this," or some kind of not good discussion about it where I say, "I'm going to do this." And the wife's like, "No, you're not. We're going to keep this in a safe bank account," right? And so I thought it would be nice to address this because, one, I am the wife who got on board. And I had those reactions at first, too. I was kind of like, "Oh, I like that money in a savings account." Now, once I've studied finance a little bit more, I actually don't like that money in a savings account. And so I feel more comfortable making investments than I do not. But I know that we've had lots of fights about money because a lot of times you're just both – the thing with money is like, it's the currency that we live on. It's our sort of only resources for survival in a capitalistic world. And so when you're fighting about money or even talking about money, you're talking about your basic security. So of course, when you have a conversation like this, you're bringing your biggest insecurities to the table, but there are ways that you can make that not so painful, right?
Yeah, we'll dive into four tips for you here in just a moment. But yeah, I just got an email from a woman the other day, actually, who wanted to purchase a property and she's ready to invest in real estate. And she said, "I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I think my husband may have a few questions." And I said, "Okay, well, then maybe you take your time. Maybe you guys aren't even ready yet. Don't rush into anything." And she said, "No, I'm ready to go, but he has a bunch of questions." And so she sent an email a day later. And she said, "Yeah, sure enough." And he had like a list of like 10 questions, and they all were like totally inconsequential questions, right? You could tell that they were just sort of like fear-based questions. They weren't really like, they're questions I'd never even seen before, you know? And I'm like, what?
And what do you mean by inconsequential?
Well, it was like, "What is the square footage of this bedroom?" or something. It was like, someone was like, "What? I don't even know." Why? Who cares? You know, what does that matter? And it was just because he was trying to come up with ways to sort of talk himself out of taking action. And she said, she wrote me this sincere email that said, mm-hmm. you know, he's not really ready. And I said, "Okay, then this is a great opportunity for you guys to get on the same page." You know, this was, and there was like some other random question that had nothing to do with anything I'd ever even seen before. And I thought, okay, clearly they're not on the same page. They need to have these conversations before one spouse is like on the internet saying, "Hey, I'm ready to invest. I'm ready to do this." While the other spouse is sitting there with their arms crossed going, "You got a lot of answers to give me.
That's not safe.
Right.
Yeah. And so both of us, I think, can can feel empathy for both parties in this. I mean, Clayton, we've talked about many times, is the gas. And he's like, let's do this. And he's going to run, you know, like a bat out of hell towards whatever he's decided he's going to do. And I'm like, wait, let's figure out how are we going to make that work? And I think I'm the no, but I'm like, okay, how, you know? But surely, Clayton, you can understand why people would be afraid, right? Why someone might be the, oh, no.
I think it's a lot of,
for that.
Well, and it's a lot of conditioning too. Let's be very clear about this. We have been raised in this country, especially in the United States. I know we have a lot of international viewers who are watching this who may, you know, invest in real estate in the United States from, I look at our numbers from Australia and Canada, and I don't know how you guys were raised in those countries, but we grew up in the United States with a lot of conditioning about wealth building in this country. We've been drilled into our brains about it's smart to have a 401k.
Right.
That you buy the home you live in because that's the smartest investment you can make. We've heard that over and over and over again, that that's the American dream, that have a savings account, invest in the stock market. And so what if your stocks lose everything? It's going to bounce back. But what they don't tell you is that the 10 years that you wasted while it collapsed and you now got back to where you were 10 years ago, that you have 10 years of wasted investing. But there's not like television commercials for real estate investing because there's no middleman. There's no Fidelity in the middle of it, or Wells Fargo or somebody like that making money off of you. So we've been subject to all of this advertising in the United States, and we've been conditioned when you're sitting there watching the 6 o'clock news at night to think that, oh, during the Tom Brokaw show, they're showing me commercials for how to, you know, be safe in my retirement. And that gets drilled into our brains, and we're conditioned since a young age to think that this is the only way to build wealth. And so when the husband comes into the wife and says, I'm going to start investing in real estate, I'm going to buy 10 properties, and it's going to produce positive monthly cash flow for us for the rest of our lives, and we're also building our net assets, it's an amazing tax shelter, and we're probably never going to pay taxes on the income from these rental properties because it's a great tax shelter, we're going to claim depreciation, the wife's going to say, whoa. I just saw the commercial for Fidelity. So why wouldn't we do that? And we've been conditioned. Yeah. So I think we're up against a lot of misinformation and a lot of ignorance.
Right. But also, again, a lot of times that spouse is just, there's one that's like paying the bills every month that knows how hard it is to make ends meet and pay for the groceries and pay the insurance and, you know, make the credit card bills and all of that stuff, right? So there's one of them that's like, life is too hard as it is. You're going to take money out of our living expenses. How is that going to work? And the other one's got a bigger goal that's like, yeah, but you know, if we do this, then we have more money to live on in the first place. And so, you know, one of our first tips that we write down here is to just recognize what your own fears are about money. We've talked many times about your own limiting beliefs, but if you're going to say to someone, if someone says to you, hey, I got this job offer, I can make this much per month, and your first reaction is, that number's not good, right? That we can't make happen. You didn't even hear like that I've been offered this promotion, that I've succeeded at this goal of being useful in my career, that people are recognizing me for my worth, right? You're hearing just the number and you're like, oh, I'm afraid that we can't eat, that we can't have heat, that we can't, you know, make our car payments, whatever, right? So really, you need to be really, really, really well familiar with your fears about money.
And it's a subject that I know all too well. I've talked it, you know, extensively on this show about my fears of money and where that comes from. And I've had to get really sort of quiet with it, sit down, you know, meditate on it, confront it, and be really honest with yourself. You can't do it when you've got a head of steam. You've got to really, like, I think, like, find sort of a quiet place, sit down quietly, take a few deep breaths, grab a notepad, and just write down what you fear about money. Just let, like, sort of stream of consciousness come out with a pen. What are you, you know, what do you fear about it? Fear that I'm not going to, as you said, be able to feed my family. You know, fear that I'm
going to ruin my credit. I'm not going to be able to, you know, keep up with my neighbors who have nice vacations or pay your school tuition, or I'll lose my job and then I'll have to move back in with my parents. Whatever it is, write it down so that you can address it. Because a lot of times when, you know, someone says to you, like it, when your spouse says, this is my new salary offer, and you know, you sort of blew past the fact that there's a promotion coming and went straight to the number, you realize, oh, I just reacted out of my own fears. And then later when you guys have a fight and one person leaves and the other person's back home and you realize, boy, I really acted crappy to that person. But I was afraid. And so logically, you're right, right? That number may not be good enough. We can't make that work. Let's look at the monthly paycheck. Nope, can't do it, right? You may be right, but that doesn't make you right. You're right. Still wrong for, you know, responding to someone you supposedly love with fear.
Yeah, fear talks us out of everything, right? Fear, there's two great motivators in life, right? Love and fear. So if it's not coming from a place of love, then clearly it's coming from a place of fear. So be honest with yourself about it. And you know, I see the emails that come in. There's a lot of fear. People just like, I'm just scared of the economy. I don't know what's going to happen. I saw my dad did this. He made great investments with real estate, but I don't know that I'm smart enough to do it. I work 50 hours a week and I just don't think I can do it. That's a fear, right? Like write that down. I don't think I have enough time. And then I think what's really powerful is to sort of do what Byron Katie does, right? To sort of turn it around and then start to go through all of those fears and get honest with yourself and ask yourself, you know, is that true? Would I not be able to feed my family, really?
Right.
Do you think that that would actually happen? Like, if like the worst thing happened, right? There was a hurricane that destroyed your whole town. I think every neighbor would come together and provide food for your family, right? Do you honestly believe you're not going to be able to provide food for your family? Come on. You know, get real and then start to analyze those things and really ask, are all these fears true? Get real and ask those questions. And I think you'll start to see these fears are kind of laughable and they start to fall off the page and you can sort of check them off one by one that they're not really true at all.
So right.
It's a powerful way to do it because you could operate from two perspectives, right? You could operate from the fear place, which is I can't provide food for my family, or you can choose to operate from the place of, yes, I can provide food for my family. And guess what? Neither of them are real in that moment. So why wouldn't you choose to be the one that does provide for your family? You know, it's like a silly way of looking at it, but it's so true. It's all made up anyway.
Yeah.
Not to get too esoteric, but I feel passionately about that because I struggled with this my whole life. So, all right, step number two in this process.
Right. So the second step is to recognize your spouse's fears. And once you understand that, you'll be a lot more careful with their feelings, because I can even take from Clayton and I's experience, you know, there have been plenty of times when I'm like, why did you buy that thing? Now we can't make our mortgage, right? And so I'm saying to him, you've made a dumb decision and now we're unsafe. Well, I've just jumped right into his insecurities and poured lemon juice on them because he already came from a place of lack and a place of insecurity where we can't keep up with people, we can't do, people can't have what we want in life. And so, I've really been early in our marriage, especially I've been great at triggering those fears because I didn't know any better because we didn't understand each other in that way. You know, I have plenty of limiting beliefs about myself, but I was raised by really empowered capitalists. And so we didn't have, I've seen my mom struggle to make ends meet, you know, when she sits at her desk and is surrounded by bills, but she always has a plan on how to figure it out. And she, you know, it always like, even when I thought knew that it was hard, she, you know, I'd come up to her and she'd be scratching her head and she'd be like, well, it's too much month at the end of the money. But, you know, it was never like her, what I heard was, that's all right. I'll make it work. I'll move from here, do this instead. You know, like for her, it was like a jigsaw puzzle. Like, okay, that was more expensive. Let me take from here. I never felt unsafe ever. And Clayton did not have that. Right. And so for me to say like, why'd you do that? Means that now I have to go play the jigsaw game that my mother used to always play. I'm not upset about it. I mean, I guess, yes, I was upset about it. That's a lie. I just lied right here on the podcast to you.
Wow. Liar.
Yes, I was upset about it, but I didn't feel like it was going to break me. Like we were so unsafe about it. It was just like, you made it harder for me. But Clayton heard, oh, we're all going to starve. Like we definitely are not worth what you just bought and you've made us all unsafe.
Yeah. All right. Number three here on the list is to know your numbers. This is, I mean, this comes back to the freedom number. And by the way, if you haven't downloaded our free cheat sheet, the freedom number cheat sheet, please do it. I mean, this is all about knowing your numbers. You can do it right on our website at Morris Invest, M-O-R-R-I-S, invest.com/freedom. Download it. It's 3 pages. And it forces you to know your numbers because you're going to go through, you're going to go through and figure out what your monthly expenses are as a family. And you're going to discover things in there. Like we just did this again, like a week ago. Remember we sat down, laptops open. Well, I don't use a laptop. I use an iPad. And she was had her laptop open and we're going through that. And she's like, you know, we are paying for this one, this thing. And, you know, with you, we're paying for this one little plugin for Chrome on the browser. Are you even using this thing? She was asking me. I'm like, no, I'm not even using that anymore. She's like, well, it's $35 a month. I'm like, oh, good. Yeah, let's delete that. And I went right in and canceled that payment because we're not even using the thing. So there's so many things. It's important to go through like that cheat sheet and really understand what your numbers are, right?
Right. Yeah, but also understand not the bigger picture of what you're worth now. We've harped so many times on this balance sheet. So you know your net worth and you know how you're trying to explode your net worth and what is the plan? Where are you at now? You know, if you stick to the plan, and that doesn't mean that life doesn't throw you curveballs, it sure does. But if you have a plan and you're on board with where you're going and the numbers don't lie then, right? So you both know, okay, you spent the money that comes from here because then you, no one's surprised. Because there have been times when we first got married and I was a little too nervous to ask about commingling our finances. And I knew you had some income from, you know, outside of your primary job. And so I never even asked about it. So there are times when I was like, well, I guess I'll buy this, but I know he's got some extra and I'm not, you know, I'm pretty sure. Like, remember I used to say, well, we need a little more in the joint account. And you would just like, oh, okay, I'll take it from here. So I just thought like, oh, he's got plenty over there. You know, it was just, that was ignorance. And that was stupid, really, of me to do. And so don't want to do that.
Many couples we'll see. I mean, God knows we talk to them, right? That are like, oh yeah, we keep separate bank accounts. We don't merge our money. And that's a touchy subject. I mean, where do you come down on that?
Because right. Well, I think they're, I can make an argument for both. And so I'm not going to make a suggestion here, but even if you have separate money, you need to know what your resources are, right? So you need to understand where the money is, even if you don't have access to it. And so that everybody has some parameters of spending and saving and all of that stuff, right? So all of these things need to be discussed on a regular basis. There should be no like hide the football, I think.
I was going to say something else.
Yeah, don't. It's not. I wasn't trying to be dirty. Hide the football yeah. Right. I was reading a book about talking to your kids about finances and it was our lawyer's book on, you know, your estate. And they said a lot of times that these families play like a game like that where they don't tell their kids what they're worth. They just sort of keep it within the family. And that's a whole other discussion.
Today's podcast is brought to you by JetSmarter, the mobile app revolutionizing the private air travel industry. Now, unlike jet cards or fractional ownership, JetSmarter lets you create on-demand flights anywhere on the planet or reserve seats on shared flights worldwide, all in minutes from a single mobile app. JetSmarter is also the only private flight service that lets you share your extra charter seats with fellow members in exchange for flight credit. You can swap them out. There's no prepaid hours, no expensive brokers are involved, just innovative air travel at your fingertips so you can experience aviation as it was meant to be. Members enjoy unparalleled travel benefits, including complimentary round-trip seats on global shuttle routes, plus access to shared and private charters around the world, discounted seats for guests, helicopter transfers in select cities, VIP member-only events, and much, much more. With JetSmarter, flying private is now within reach. Download the JetSmarter app today and use the code SMART, S-M-A-R-T, SMART, to become part of the world's largest members-only private aviation community and discover a smarter way to fly. For full details, visit jetsmarter.com. Okay, number 4 on the list here, make and trust the plan. So make a plan and then trust the plan. Well, first of all, how do you make the plan? What is it based on?
Well, I mean, that it's got to be based on shared values, mm-hmm. for starters. So either you think real estate's awesome or you don't, or you want to invest in your mother-in-law's bakery or you don't, right? But these are things that need to be discussed. And then when you have a plan to increase your net worth based on your spreadsheet, then you can discuss whether or not whatever decision you just made, for instance, Clayton's just showed up with a very expensive computer for his new studio. And so I understand, you know, that that is because he wants to increase our net worth by doing these specific things, right? So I'm okay with it, even though I had a shock from it, but it is along the lines of expanding our wealth because of his goals. Whereas right. if he came home with a rocket ship.
Jet ski.
A jet ski. I don't think I'd be down with that because we don't have anything to tow it with. We don't have any place to store it. We don't know how to jet ski. That is not that is, you know, depreciates right away. We don't even get to claim depreciation on it. So that is not in line with our goals. So I wouldn't be happy with that. So, you know, I could say to him without triggering his own insecurities, I wish you hadn't have done that. It does not explode our net worth, right?
Right.
Well, it might not go so nicely. But.
No. Yeah. And the new streaming studio that we're building is, you know, in order to do more live shows and everything. So the expensive computer, the expensive camera equipment and the studio stuff, that's all in alignment with our goals of helping other people. So that's how I can say it to her. Say, really? You got this, you know, amazing display and lights. And I was like, yes, we need this. We need this. We need this. So, no, a perfect example is like a friend of mine, he and his wife invested together. They both were on the same page. They invested in a friend's restaurant. And they're like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So they invested in this restaurant. And then they, I don't know, right away invested in a second restaurant. And they basically admitted, it's the worst investment that we've ever made. We lost it. We made no money. We lost it all. But they were on the same page. And he's like, I wish I would have invested in real estate. I actually would have made money. But it wasn't as if he decided to do it and she didn't. They were on the same page and they went through this learning curve together.
Yeah. I mean, right.
Well, I mean, it didn't pan out so well. They had a plan.
I mean, we're not saying a restaurant is not a great investment. It could be, right? It's just they have to, you know, you have to do your due diligence. You have to have the same comfort level with those investments as well. Right. You know, if one of them's like, oh, we're putting everything into the 401k and the other one's like, I think the 401k is too expensive and not performing, then the burden's on you to make your case for, you know, and we shouldn't, Clayton, don't do it. We shouldn't say what is the best investment for anyone. We can say how we do it and what we think, and that's about as far as we can take it.
Right. Yeah, truly. And so again, this kind of, the freedom cheat sheet also helps you figure out your plan too. Like what is your, if real estate, and I think you're watching this channel because you know that real estate is the number one way to make wealth in this country. So if that is your plan, then it's good to have a plan. Put it up on your whiteboard. Put it up on your refrigerator. You know, I know couples that do that. Like they have it right in their office, their shared office, you know, on their cork board that says 12 properties or, you know, they want to get to a certain amount of passive income every month. So make right. that plan. Get to it. I know that when you and I do that, we sort of sit down every year and we kind of map out like the passive income goal that we want to hit for that year. We end up reaching it because we focus on it. And then you have sort of monthly maintenance meetings where we have it set on our calendar to go out to lunch, you know, and to sit down and talk about, okay, what mm-hmm. is our strategy? How's it looking? Are we behind? Are we ahead? Where are we? Do we need to, hey, maybe this little fire sprung up over here for our kids' school. We need to pay for this thing, or we want to donate an extra money, you know, to charity this month because of what happened in Puerto Rico or something. You know, you can have those discussions. And I think that monthly maintenance is also really important.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully that helps because, you know, a lot of times, you know, this friend that told me about this argument, I just felt so much empathy for the both of them because that spouse is a really talented and hardworking person. And the friend is also talented, but just was afraid, you know, and I just felt like, oh, you know, I understand what you're saying, but you don't have to be scared. And maybe you didn't hear, you know, the virtue of this conversation, which was that they're being super valued at their employer, at their place of employment. And so, you know, I just know that a lot of times we respond unconscious of our own fears and the sort of underlying things that are being triggered. And that's how arguments happen. And we've been there. And so we thought maybe we could share that because, you know, I think it will help people. It would help us. I wish someone could go back and tell Natalie, newlywed Natalie, that, you know.
I do too.
Shut up.
I wish someone could have gone also back and told her not to say shut up.
My dad used to fine me $5 for saying shut up, but now I am a grown ass lady and I can say shut up whenever I want.
I'm going to start fining you.
For saying shut up?
Yeah. Then I can put that towards my comic book money.
Whatever. It can, like a swear jar, I'll put a quarter in. A right. Shut up.
All right, everyone. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Investing in Real Estate Show. Please go back and check out our archives. We've got hundreds of episodes here, and sometimes they can get lost. We try to surface important episodes that we think are useful to you, but go back to the beginning. We've got episodes on how to find your freedom number. We've got great interviews on tax strategy. We've got incredible interviews on insurance as well for real estate investing. We've really tried to treat everything we do on this show as like an encyclopedia and a resource for you to access and go to anytime you want. And it's evergreen content, really. And so sometimes we'll go in and kind of update things if tax law changes or this particular thing has changed. So we really try to keep it as a body of work that you can utilize and access. So we publish this show many times a week, and we'll see you back here with another episode of the Investing in Real Estate Show. Now say goodbye. Don't say shut up.
Okay. So, goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye, sir. Goodbye.
Goodbye. See you next time, everyone.
Bye.